And it is Friday. It is the first Friday of the month, and that means the plant lady is here with a plant rant. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everyone.
It is a good morning. Look at that sunshine. It's nice out, 69 degrees. Don't get a whole lot better than that.
No, it is beautiful. You know, we had those few hot days, which is kind of, you need that too. And then but these days where it's just, there's still really no bugs. There's just perfect. I already went out this morning and made my rounds and checked out the plants. And it's just always amazing to me that I do it every day. I look at everything every day, more than once a day probably.
Sure.
So to go out and see that things have grown since yesterday, it's so amazing.
Well, with some plants, you can see the growth day by day.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And I can't believe, it's June already. I guess it's summer, but some of my plants are so big already, and it just amazes me how quick that happens. And then there's a few other things. So don't give up, everyone, because I know, like, my swamp milkweed is just starting to come out of the ground. And then I have three catmint that I planted all three at the same time, same soil. You know, they're in a group. One's huge, one just came out of the ground, and one's just kind of medium. And it's like, how does this work? But don't give up. There's a few things I know that I've lost over the winter, and then there's some things that are just late starters, but they may come.
Well, so. Isn't it with stuff like that, every year is different?
Well, for sure. You know, we really had a nice spring.
Oh, yeah.
This year. We didn't have any blizzards. I mean, there's still time, but.
Well, let's not talk like that, Sandra.
I know. I'm bad. So, yeah, it's been a good spring and really a nice June so far. So.
It is. It is, and I hope it stays that way. But, I would like just a little bit of rain now.
Exactly.
We've
had that touch, although that first batch of rain we got, then the mosquitoes came right after. We could use some moisture.
We did a little work in our backyard, and now we've seeded some ground, and it would be, rather than have to go out there and run the water every day, it would be nice if Mother Nature would give us a nice shower.
When you're seeding the lawn, that is a lot of time spent.
It is.
Watering. But worth it once that seeded lawn gets established. Worth it.
Yep. Yeah, we're hoping. It was kind of a combination. We have a lot of trees in our yard, so over years the soil became pretty acidic, and so we limed it, we reseeded it with proper seed for shade and all that sort of stuff. So we ought to have a heck of a lawn in a month or so.
Listen to you, Bob. There's not too many times that you're just not asking me how much work something is. So you've been out there. What else have you been doing around the yard?
I have to admit, I did not do the lion's share of the work myself.
Well, that's okay.
It has to be okay. At my age, you don't do stuff like that.
But did you get some flowers and things as well?
Oh, sure. We got some things. We went and spent a ton of money at Abrahamson's one day. And so we have hanging baskets in the house and pots, and we've got some tomatoes in containers and more stuff than we've ever had in our life.
Well, good. Congratulations. It only took, so today, by the way, happy anniversary. This is 2 years now that we've been on the air. It was June 2018, the first plant rant.
Wow. How so about that?
Took me this long to inspire you, but hey.
Hey, listen, it proves one thing. Persistency and consistency are everything.
Well, and I'll be excited as time goes by to hear how your grass is coming in and how the flowers and tomatoes are doing.
Know.
We'll have more to talk about now.
Well, okay. I the best part of the backyard is we took out, when we moved there, it was all fenced with a kind of a woven wire fence, and it was grown full of brush and all that stuff, so we took it all out. Man, now Luann says, we're so exposed.
Oh, sure, that is a big adjustment.
It is, because all of a sudden we can see clear to the on the other street and the other block, you know, and we've not been able to do that for a long time. So.
Ooh, well, it might be time to put in some plants. Time to go back to Abrahamson's or go to Dragonfly and get some hedges there now.
Listen, the neighbor had a hedge when we first moved there to the north of us, and they pulled it out. And we hated to see it go because it was a nice kind of a privacy thing, you know?
Right.
But anyway, what have you been doing? I mean, you're still just lounging around the house?
I'm still at home. We are still making the choice to be
okay
at home. So, yes, doing the show from home again today. But doing gardening and spending some, you know, the other day it was hot. We had some fun with the water. Did get out. I would like to do this more, and I don't know why it does happen more, but we actually went elsewhere, found a really nice set of trails that are meant to be skiing trails, typically, and snowshoeing, but it was just beautiful. So I did get to see a few more of the spring wildflowers. The day that we were out, the bloodroot were all in bud but hadn't bloomed, but found one really nice patch that was in blossom and had a lot of blossoms.
Wow.
So I was excited about that. Got to see a lot of trillium. By then, the hepaticas were done, but we had a previous hike the month before where I'd gotten to see some of those.
Uh-huh.
Trying to think what else, because that is, that's what I like to do. And now, you know, the Jack in the Pulpits. And then now, like, the wild geraniums are starting to be in bloom. The lilacs are finishing up. I hope folks, if they have them, at least trimmed a sprig or two to bring into the house because they smell so good. And there are still some late season one. The Miss Kims and the Dwarf Koreans are, you know, should still be coming with blooms. So if you miss the real big or the common purple or the French hybrids, but if you can get your hands on some of the late bloomers, recommend just getting a few, trimming a few. If you don't have them, ask your neighbor. Most people will let you.
Sure.
And on while we're on the topic of lilacs, now is the time. So, folks, if you have lilacs out there, I know the pruning questions are always so specific, and they're common questions that come up. So lilacs, when they are done blooming, is the time if you want to do any shaping, trimming, pruning, thinning, now is the time.
Uh-huh.
It is the new growth this year, so you're going to cut those, you know, cut what you need to cut off. Now, keep in mind, if you're cutting for size, that you're going to get new growth, but where that new growth is, this year's new growth is going to be, will be next year's flowers.
Uh-huh. Don't forget that.
So get out and trim your lilacs if you are desiring to do that. If you wait until the fall, you're going to be calling me next spring going, how come my lilac didn't bloom?
Yeah. I have a question for you, as long as we're talking about things like that. We have an apple tree in our yard, and one branch has just flat died. The rest of the tree it bloomed all over the place. But when can I cut that dead branch off there?
I would say any time on that. I mean,
really?
You know, the old rule used to be never prune in May or June, and that had to do a lot with Dutch elm disease.
Okay.
And when that was able to spread. If you've got a dead branch on your apple tree, ornamental crab or whatever you have, I would say you can just trim that out now and get that.
Or I could just be safe and wait till July, right?
Yeah, or I mean dormant time is like one of the best times for pruning trees in general.
Oh, okay.
If it looks bad, I would just get it out of there. The main thing with pruning is if it's a branch coming out, you're going to have what's called the branch collar, which is like a little ring where either that stem is meeting another branch or that stem is meeting the trunk.
Okay.
You don't want to damage the branch collar, that little ring, but you want to get as close to it as you can. You don't want to leave a nub sticking out because the plant can't build enough tissue over that to heal over that spot. So
gotcha.
That's one of the key things with pruning. But if you have a dead branch, I would just get it.
I've heard it said that there's some sort of a paint that you can spray on that. Is that a good idea?
I don't recommend.
It's not a paint, but
the paint. The paint really doesn't do anything to help the tree. The only time I would ever recommend it, if you really did know that you had a disease or insect problem, it can offer a little bit of extra protection, but it, and I mean, they still sell all those products, but I don't recommend.
Okay. Well, there, that answered that question.
Putting the paint on there. I would just trim it off and, you know, be done with it.
Okay. All right. Well, where else? Oh, I was going to ask you about the trails. You were out walking, hiking, whatever. Did you meet any other people?
Not that day. No. The one day previous when we had went to down by the river, there was another couple walking into the woods as we left. But we had tried to find, you know, that the day this was in, oh, boy, this might have even been in April now. I can't remember. Or April or May. There was a day we went out, it was a Wednesday, middle of the day, people were everywhere. Cars all along the river road, people. Yeah. So we just kept driving until we got to where there was no other people parked, and then by the time we left, another couple. But the trails that we went to a couple weeks ago now, there we didn't run into anybody else.
Sure.
And there's different access points to those trails, but the parking area we were at and the trails that we were on, we didn't see anybody.
It was pretty remote anyway, right?
Yeah, nice spot, actually. And I mean, it's a town park, so I should be able to promote it, but it's part of the Balsam Branch
Trail Ski Area, yep.
Which, you know, people, you know, private citizens and companies support for the ski maintenance. In the winter, they actually have lit trails, so that's an expense, and they actually groom, and they have some trails, ski trails, and then the snowshoe trail. So in the winter, there is some regulation on where you can walk.
Gotcha.
Or not, because of the groomed ski
trails
versus the snowshoe trail. But in the summer, you've just got this really nice, great, and they've got maps posted all along.
Oh.
And then it shows you how many, I think it's in kilometers, but it gives you the distance.
Sure.
Of each. So if you get so far and it's like, oh, should we turn back or cut over or what, you know, it gives you some opportunity. But really pretty land. It was quite diverse. There was a pond, so we saw some ducks. Some hills, but there again, because they're ski trails, they're marked whether they're easy or more difficult or most difficult. So kind of a neat place to hike where you can get out in the woods, and depending upon what your abilities are, you would be able to judge. You know, because the easier ones, it's for skiing, so they're not going to have the hills and some of those inclines that the other ones. So it was a neat space. I had always meant to check it out. And it's kind of attached on the, I've got to orient myself, on the west side, it kind of butts up to D.D. Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
So to give people an idea of, I think the property runs from like 120th all the way to C.
Oh.
You know, the C, that's the North Sea.
Yeah.
And then west to the D.D. Kennedy. So it's a nice...
big area.
It's a nice space. And I am anxious to go back because there's a lot, you know, we only did one loop or whatever, and I'd like to get back and check out...
Sure.
Check out more of the trails, go a different route.
Well, it's one thing about this shelter-in-place thing and all that we've been going through is it's forced some people to go out and take a look at places like that.
Yeah, and we're fortunate here. We live on a lot of property, and then we're next to a nature area as well. Oh. And so we're able to go explore a lot, and we've been doing a lot more exploring in our own backyard, so to speak.
Sure.
But it's nice to be able to go somewhere else.
For sure.
Too, and get off. I mean, we've been home now for, what, almost 3 months? So nice to go somewhere else and not necessarily run into other people, so... But, yeah, I think more and more people, I mean, that day we went out, like I said, it was the middle of a week on a Wednesday, and there was people all along the river.
Sure.
Which is, I mean, and hopefully people, those are one of the positive things that people keep continuing to do. And I know gardening, you know, you mentioned Abrahamson's. I've talked to a few people from there, and it sounds like, I mean, there's stuff that they've sold out on.
I'm sure.
I guess the nurseries are just you know, well, having amazing business.
Everybody's got to be doing stuff at home now because they're not supposed to go anywhere, and travel is down, you know, to go out of town or out of state or whatever, that's down, and got to have something to do, so you might as well do it around the house, right?
Well, and I think that movement, you know, we talked last month about the Victory Garden. I think there's that movement also toward self-sufficiency.
Sure.
And getting some, growing some food.
Well, there could be some positives come out of all of this.
Yes. Oh, well, let's hope. So I did have, before we get, let's see, I had one question last month from Bob, not you, but a different Bob, and his peony was not blooming, and I actually spoke with him, but I thought, you know, I'll talk about this because this seems to be a common question as well. So typically if your peony isn't blooming, it's either improper planting or it's not getting enough light. In Bob's case, it was getting plenty of sun, but the peonies had been in the same spot for several years. So what we talked about is just the peonies have like a tuberous type of root, and they have what's called eyes, which are the little growing points where the new growth comes from.
Uh-huh.
And so your peonies should really be planted about 2 inches below the soil. Those eyes should be. Oh. And a lot of times, you know, with plant debris and leaves and if you mulch and all that, that soil kind of builds up over time.
Sure.
So getting those peonies lifted and, you know, in 6 or more hours of sun as far as the placement on those for light requirement. But if you can get those lifted up, the flowering's going to come back. And typically, you know, the ideal time would be to wait until fall.
Okay.
To do that. But, I don't always follow the rules. You get a nice cool day. I mean, I've moved peony in the middle of July, and they're hot. You know, someone was moving, and they wanted to give up some of the plants and that kind of thing, and things have done fine. So that...
It's a rule of thumb, but it's not an unbreakable rule.
Exactly. But if you want, mark your calendar into September or something and get those peonies lifted. So if people are having problems with the blooming on those, I have one, and I think I just don't have it in enough sun. And I could move it. It always kind of starts to come up. It looks good, grows, but has the teeniest little buds, and it's like, oh, why don't I move this thing? But
you should move it when you see it and think about it rather than wait, because you will probably forget it.
Pretty much, yeah, I know.
So what else gardening-wise have you been doing, or is it now just a matter of looking at it?
You know, I've been, well, I do my little, pull my few little weeds every day when I do my walkthrough, and I've had a few weeding sessions. I really like to get I like to go around my beds with the shovel and kind of get an edge where I actually kind of dig a trench out to try to keep a barrier from the grass going in.
Oh, I see.
The beds,
sure.
I don't use edging or anything, and a few of my beds have some rock around them, but even then you can't get the mower right up next to that rock. So I try to dig a trench. So that was probably one of my biggest time spent digging the trench. You got to pull it out. You know, of course, you're trying not to get rid of all your soil, so I'm taking the soil, and you got to haul and dump the weeds. And so doing that. And
so
then
you
just
dig a trench. How deep do you dig it?
I just popped it. I mean, the grass roots are pretty shallow.
I got you.
I just go down enough to pop those weeds out. Okay. You know, I go through and kind of dig, and then I go by hand and kneel and pull and shake off the soil or pull out any dandelions. And it's just going through with the spade shovel and popping it down just gets everything loose, so it's easier to
pull it up.
To pull them up.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
And then it makes a little bit nicer edge for trying to get that lawnmower close without running over anything.
It's hard to get, but mowers are tough to get up close to anything.
Well, you want, and that's where if you can have that little bit of space in front of your bed.
Sure.
To allow for the mower to go through. Now it's just the daily. I mean, one day I went and weeded a bed, and I was mainly focusing just on grasses, and then I went back like an hour later, and I'm like, well, how did I miss you and you? So the weeding is ongoing.
It's kind of a casual thing anyway, isn't it?
For me, yeah. I mean, I have, like I said, I spent probably 2 days getting the beds edged and getting everything pulled and moved. But, you know, if you get a dent, and I do mulch my beds, so that helps. And then the other bigger project was working on a little woodland area. Our yard is on a wooded edge, and so I've been trying to, which I'd started, and, you know, there's lots of buckthorn that needs to come out. That's kind of ongoing.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I had a small tree that needed to get planted, and then I have another understory tree that's larger, so I've been kind of clearing that area. And there's some raspberries in there, so now I'm like, well, I think I'll wait till the raspberries fruit, and then I'm going to move them somewhere. But I, like, for now, I just want to leave them alone, but I'm kind of chomping at the bit to get that cleaned out. My challenge has been, because I haven't been going anywhere, I'm getting a little bit anxious for plants. And so I actually, for my pots, I used some cuttings from some of my house plants.
Okay.
And planted those. I have some things that volunteer that come back on their own from seed. So I've got some of those I'm letting go. And then I have a few areas in my perennials where I could thin out some stuff. So I'm thinking I may dig a few of those out to put in the pots. And then now for this area, this wooded area, I kind of have a mental list of what I want. So I may get a list together and then maybe call ahead to say either Kent's or Abrahamson's and maybe do like a curbside.
So
or something.
How big is this wooded area?
Well, it could be very big. it's, you know, it's, I had one little section. I had some things I'd overwintered in pots, so I cleaned out just a little area for that stuff. And then the other area is quite large that I've been working at kind of every year and adding to. But the woods is big. As a matter of fact, that was one of our first things we did when Anthony wasn't going to school anymore. We started this little trail area, and actually it has turned out really nice, and we've built a little structure and have a little sitting area back there now.
Oh,
and
my.
So that's been, that was a fun ongoing project to see the progress of, and now have this, you know, now we've got like a small little, because our woods is further back, the main woods, and so sometimes to take a walk, you don't want to walk a half a mile to get to the woods, whereas now we have this awesome trail, like right off of our yard, and just to go out and take a little mental health break or do a little, just a small, I mean, it's not a huge area, but it's, you can take a little walk. And
is this an area where you've added to your mowing chores?
Not really. I might go through with the mower because there is a little, the path is starting to, stuff starting to grow.
Sure.
But you could use a little hand sickle or something too. And part of that's just going to be using it, you know, if we keep riding our bikes through there and walking through there. So.
Wow.
Well, I have a few announcements to make.
Okay.
You mentioned Abrahamson's. This weekend they're doing on the 6th and the 7th, if you donate a non-perishable food item, they will give you a free one-pound bag of Dr. Earth fertilizer, which I love the Dr. Earth products.
Oh.
They're organic and very sustainable and actually, like, build up your soil. Or if you are having any disease issues or things like that, if you buy a Bonide product, they'll donate 50% of the proceeds to a local food shelf.
Whoa.
And so there are different things you can do with that, but so it'll benefit, you know, either you buy the product and the proceeds go, or you can bring the perishable. I would go for the perishable and get the organic fertilizer myself, but that's just me. The Amory's Farmers Market is going to be up and running. That is going to start on Monday, June 8th, from 3 to 6, and then Saturday, June 13th will be the first Saturday, and their Saturdays are 9 to 12, so the farmer's market will be coming. And the last several months, we've been announcing stuff for Tana, the friendly forager, and she was having her foraging for real, which wound up being, she did wind up doing that on Zoom and with an interactive Facebook group. So that, under the circumstances, the format for that had changed. But she does have some things coming up. There's a couple free things she's offering. There's a free wild food walk. The first one is going to be on June 30th. It's a Tuesday from 7 to 8 at the Centuria Public Library.
Okay.
And then she's doing one on the 4th of July from 10 to 11 at the Wisconsin Interstate Park.
Oh.
And with that, they'll just be casually looking at common wild edibles, you know, growing around the area, how to ID them, and how to best prepare for them, or prepare them for eating. And that is one thing. We've been able to do a little wildcrafting at my house. We wound up finding some pheasant back mushrooms, and now that I've identified them, that's another thing. Every time I walk in that little woods over there, I keep finding more of them every time. There's so many. And then ramps, too, which is a wild onion.
Oh.
And you can either let them go and dig up the bulb later when they go into a dormancy, or you can use them now, and then we usually save the roots to replant. And then the leaf is edible as well. It's a wide, strappy leaf, maybe six inches or something. And those are just, it's a great little herb to use. So that we've been doing a little bit of foraging. I haven't done the nettles, and I know they're so good and they're everywhere. But and the other thing I've never tried is, which I have friends that do, are the fiddleheads, which we're past now, but when the ferns are very first popping up.
Yeah.
And people saute those, so...
Saute those.
Yes, which I have not tried, and I need to do more. I don't know if there's like specific, you know, if it's, you know, just the ostrich fern or what ferns there are. Well,
wow.
Before we run out of time, I thought we just should have a little bit of fun today.
Okay.
And I have been trying to in just with needing a little more humor after being home for all this time,
yep.
I've been revisiting my Irma Bombeck.
Oh, book. Sure.
And she is just hilarious. You know, when she very first started writing, she was still a house, you know, I shouldn't say still housewife, but she, prior to her working as a columnist and all this, she was home with her family,
yep.
And just does a lot of humorous things just about family and homemaking. But I found in her book, At Wit's End, she does, and I hope people will enjoy this, bear with me, but it is hilarious. So she does a little bit of a quip here on gardening clubs. So I thought for fun for our anniversary show today, I am going to read about from Irma Bombeck. So here we go. One of the most overzealous groups of club women I know are the garden clubbers. They cannot comprehend that some of us are born into this world to plant glad bulbs upside down. Some of us are resigned to a life without manure and mulch, and that when some of us have a green thumb, it's a skin condition. Don't misunderstand me. I have nothing but respect for garden club women, especially after the episode my mother and I endured with the dried weeds project. We just couldn't imagine there being much skill to throwing clumps of fall foliage into a pot. Why, they must think we're a couple of rubes who just blew into town with the egg money, Mother said. Imagine paying $7.95 for a pot of dried milk pods, a few pine cones, and a couple of sticks with berries on them. We could fill a bathtub with this stuff for 49 cents a spray paint. Maybe it was the vision of a floral-filled bathtub that prompted us to do it. Looking back, we like to think one of the kids left the cap off the glue and we inhaled enough to make us fly. At any rate, the next weekend found Mother and me backing our way through the woods like John Hall and Cebu. Cattails we discovered flourished only in swamps where the bog was knee-high. The prettiest leafy specimens were always at the top of the trees. The most unique pods were always situated in the middle of a livestock relief station. And the most graceful Queen Anne's lace was always over the next hill. I have no intention of humiliating my mother by relating that grim scene of her up to her knees in jungle rot, clutching a bundle of poison sumac to her chest and shouting hysterically at a snake slithering over her gym shoes, only to report that she shouted to the heavens, "Oh, please, I'm evangelical, and I tithe." I think our little excursion can best be told by a tabulation we compiled of the expenses incurred in the pursuit of dried stock for floral arrangements. Expenses: one can gold spray paint, 69 cents. One can silver spray paint, 69 cents. 1 gallon paint thinner, $1.25, used to remove spray paint from patio floor. One ironing board cover, $2. Note to amateurs, put the leaves between wax paper before pressing. One pair of gym shoes, $4. One sweater, abandoned at Snake Pit, $5.95. One car wash and vacuuming, $2. one doctor for sumac, $5. You can tell this is a little outdated.
A while ago, yeah.
One prescription for sumac, $3.57. One overdue book on dried flowers for fun and profit, 62 cents. Personal aggravation, $500. Total, $525.77. Oh, so
a cheap, fun time.
It's, yeah. But wait, there's more. The people, okay, we're at time, but I'm going for it. Can I go for it?
Sure.
All right. It's not that I don't appreciate garden clubbers' talents. It's just that they're always trying to convert you to gardenism. One enthusiast in particular bugs me all the time. She's always pinching my brown leaves off my indoor plants and feeling the soil around my pots to see if they've been watered lately. She makes me nervous. What did you do with that slip of creeping phlox I gave you, she asked the other day. It crept in the soil and died, I said. If I've told you once, she sighed, I've told you 1,000 times. Plants are like little people. You simply have to give them a little water, a little love, and a lot of understanding. Now this is lovely and green. What do you call this? I call that a rotten onion that has been around for 9 weeks and is pithy and mushy on the inside, but has bright green sprouts on the outside. You're terrible. You really are, she chided. You should belong to a garden club. Then you could exchange ideas and learn from the other members. I belong to the Wilt and Kill, I offered. The Wilt and Kill? She asked, her eyes widening. I don't think I know it. We're a group of garden club rejects. Meet the first rainy Monday of the month. Answer roll call with our current houseplant failure. You're putting me on. No, I'm not. It's not too easy to qualify. One girl used a 9-foot sunflower plant as a border. She got in. Another padded her beds with plastic flowers from the dime store in the winter. She's qualified. Or she qualified. I call every flower Semper Fidelis. It's the only Latin I know. I'm an officer. Incredible. I've never heard of it. We have a wonderful time. At the last meeting, Maybelle Mahonia set up the projector and showed home movies of her garden. It was as barren as a missile site. We got a prize for every weed we could identify. Would you like to hear our slogan? I don't think so, she said, feigning dizziness. It's from futility to fertility we stand together.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, dear. I must be going. Incidentally, how is your sweet potato vine? I smiled. It was delicious.
Only Irma Bombeck, huh?
Well, and I thought, you know, we may have listeners out there who'd listened and aren't gardeners, and that is for them. So,
absolutely.
From futility to fertility, we stand together.
Good show, Sandra.
Thanks. It always goes fast, and it's always fun.
It is. And we'll do it again in a month.
I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Sandra.
Thank you. Enjoy June, everyone.
I wonder if you have a question. What's that website again?
Oh, yes. Plant Rant 93.1. At gmail.com. So please,
right.
Any correspondence, even if people have a comment, kind, of course. But yes, feel free to reach me, plantrant93.1@gmail.com.
Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you, Bob.
Sandra, the plant lady. This has been the Plant Rant, monthly, the first Friday of the month on WPCA.